I find it's very interesting that, well, I'll explain it as we go through this message, but you'd be surprised how many things have already been said today that are in this message, okay? So obviously, we have to pay attention, right? This is Advent, as you all know, and if you haven't already caught the theme, it's all about joy. And I'm just going to start with in the book of Luke, and in chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, it says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified." Now, just leading up to these verses, at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about Caesar Augustus, and he calls a census. And calling a census, Caesar Augustus wanted to know how big was his Roman Empire. So the idea of finding out is he asked everybody to go back to their hometowns and basically be counted. That's what a census is. He wanted to know how big his domain and his empire was. And so to do that, Joseph and Mary, they take the long trip to Bethlehem. And of course, at this time, Mary is pregnant. In fact, she's about to give birth to a baby. So I got to believe that's not the easiest trip that had to have been made at the time. And then she gives birth. It says in the book of Luke, chapter 2, she gives birth in a manger, not in a beautiful hotel, in a nice comfortable room, or in a hospital. She gives birth in a manger. And then we read this scripture again, and there were the shepherds. They were out living in the fields nearby. They were terrified. They were terrified because why? An angel appeared to them. Now, an angel appearing sounds, you know, it's nice to read it in a storybook, but this would have been a major event. There would have been a light, there would have been sound, there would have been all kinds of things going on, and they were just like, what is going on? I mean, I find it interesting. I don't know if you've been reading in the news over the last couple of days. There are these drones that are flying around New Jersey and parts of New York, and people are wondering where are these drones coming from. And people are, you know, the conspiracy theorists, oh boy, the aliens are arriving. It's, you know, it's like, and people are scared. So scared that, in fact, some of the politicians are saying, shoot them down. This is crazy. This is crazy. I don't know what the drones are about, but if you got to imagine, that would be a modern day sort of experience that the shepherds must have had out in the fields. What is going on? It's really scary. Now, these guys were out just outside of Bethlehem, which is about 5 miles from Jerusalem. And Bethlehem is an interesting place because in Bethlehem, this is where Rachel was buried. Bethlehem was the home of Boaz, the husband of Ruth. David used to keep his sheep near there. King David, prior to becoming king, used to keep his sheep near Bethlehem. It became known in many in Luke later on as the town of David. And in Micah, the book of Micah, it was prophesied that this would be where Jesus would be born. So here's this message being revealed or about to be revealed to these shepherds. And they're in sort of really in an out of the way place. You know, this isn't, it's happening in some gigantic city or where there's thousands of people around to see and experience what they're experiencing. They're in some little town outside of Jerusalem. And it was during this time that, you know, over 2,000 years ago, that there was a lot of conflict in Judah. There was a lot of conflict in the empire. There was a lot of stress and trials and troubles. And the people in general, especially the Jews, They knew the promises of a Messiah was to come, and that this Messiah was going to come and just totally relieve them of all their troubles. So there was, you know, there was tension in the air, if you want to call it that. And then it says, the angel appeared in the glory of the Lord. So this must have been just this shining bright light and was all around them. It's sort of like saying, you know, shepherds, I'm here, I'm with you. I am with you. God is saying, here I am with you. Now, it's interesting that God would reveal himself through an angel to a shepherd to bring in an announcement that the Messiah was born. You would have thought that, you know, a shepherd in that time was considered probably the lowest of the low. In fact, shepherds at the time, according to Jewish history, were one little level above being a leper. You were the lowest of the low. But it's interesting as well that in John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep will know me. I am the good shepherd. I am humble. So here's what happens next in the story. The angel said to these shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, or Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. That's the good news, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is a momentous announcement. The Messiah has been born. And this announcement is made to shepherds, the lowest of the low. You would have expected that, you know, in this day and age, if you wanted to make a really important announcement, you wouldn't do it in some little town outside of Jerusalem to a few little shepherds. It would be done in, you know, on the media and in television and everything. So similar fashion, at the time of the shepherds and the announcement being made to them, why wasn't it done in the temple or in a palace or where, you know, tons of people would be congregating so that this message could go to just tons of people all at once? But no. The one who would be our shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who is heralded, okay, to lowly shepherds, the one who is spoken about to shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, it's the good shepherd, was witnessed by shepherds. Interesting? The good shepherd was witnessed by shepherds. Now, when we look at this verse, there are four things that stand right out. And these four things are a message to all of us. The first message is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The person who has just been born, this Messiah who has just been born, is here to bring peace and love, not to create fear. Who's the creator of fear and making you afraid? It's not Jesus. It's evil. It's Satan. So he says, first of all, I want you to be at peace. Do not be afraid. And then the second part of this verse is, it's going to create joy. It's going to create joy. This is God's of great joy. Why is it going to cause great joy? And it's going to cause great joy for the third reason. It's because a Savior has been born. Somebody has come to save you. Now, maybe the shepherds at the time thought, well, this is the announcement of the Savior who is going to save us from the Roman Empire. Okay? But no, this is the announcement of the Savior who is going to save all of us who receive Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit. And the fourth thing, and this is a part that people easily miss, okay? It says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? All the people. Thank you. It's for everybody. It wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't just for the people in Bethlehem. It wasn't just for the Jews in Judea. It was for the whole world from that moment forward and forever. It was not just for the shepherds. It was for all of us. You see, this announcement that was made was announcing to the shepherds that God had come in the form of a human. His name is Jesus Christ, because he sensed the need of the people, just like he senses the need of us today. You see, we are all needy people. We all need Jesus Christ. We all need Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we're in need, we're in pain. Sometimes we're lonely. Sometimes we feel anxious. Sometimes our hearts are hurting. We are needy. And interestingly enough, even though we as humans try, whether it's through psychology or other ways, we've not been able to bring the joy. We have not been able to bring the joy to all the people, as it is said in this verse. Do you guys struggle with joy? I have to admit, you know, in preparing this message, I'm thinking, this world around us isn't all that joyful. How can we deliver a message about joy when all around us, there isn't all that much joy? Or at least a lot of people feel that way. Sometimes we're struggling with grief, with loss. We're going through severe trials. We have health problems. Even in the book of James, it says count it all joy when you suffer. That seems weird, doesn't it? Count it all joy when we are to suffer. It's hard to think, well, what are we celebrating? This Messiah has come and we're saying this is great joy. I want to point something out, and it becomes clear as we look into this. We are to enjoy the joy of Jesus Christ. That's what we have been called to do. That's what we've been called to share. We are to enjoy the joy of Jesus Christ. Because when we have received Jesus Christ, we are in God's care. And when we are in God's care, that brings us joy. We hear many times, we sang a song now, Joy to the World. You see joy to the world all over the place. But you know what? We live in a world right now where, yes, we believe joy to the world, that Jesus Christ is the gift. Jesus Christ is the joy to the world. But unfortunately today, we think it's joy of the world. We think our pursuit is to find ways of getting joy out of the world. But no, Jesus Christ came to bring joy to the world. Okay, so what kind of joy is that? Well, let me give you a couple of examples, and I do have a handout that you can have after the services. I'll ask somebody to share it with you. But there are many, many gifts of joy that Jesus Christ brings to us. One of them is that he cares for us, that he has our back no matter what, that we realize that as the sovereign Lord, he is in control, that when we surrender to Christ, we can trust in him and we can place our burdens on his back and he will lead us through whatever trials we encounter. One of the major joys is just to be in awe of his creation. The beauty of his creation, even though unfortunately we're doing a pretty good job at trying to destroy it. But the beauty of his creation is a joy when you're getting close to nature and you're seeing what he's done. It's knowing that there is encouragement and fellowship and love when we are part of God's family and helping each other. It's knowing the joy that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Is knowing that when we read God's word, we will receive joy amongst instruction and understanding and knowledge and truth. I don't know if you remember, but there was joy when we were doing baptisms in our parking lot just a year ago. And I'm looking forward and hoping that we will have more, because when a person comes up out of the water, there is joy showing their faith to the world. There is joy because we've received eternal life. There is joy because our sins are forgiven and forgotten and wiped out. You know where else there's joy? This is interesting. There is joy when we repent. There's joy in heaven. It says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing or joy in heaven over one person who repents than over 99 persons who don't need to or don't think they need to. Isn't that amazing? So here we have this statement or this scripture it's good news. It's for all the people. It brings joy, and it's announcing a Savior. And the story goes on. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. Now there wasn't just one angel when this announcement was made. Now a whole bunch of them showed up. In fact, nobody knows how many, but I got to believe that if they're all the angels just all showed up to witness and make these shepherds aware that this announcement of a Messiah has been made. And they started to say, glory to God. Imagine all these people singing at once, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Wow, that must have been an amazing experience. And then the story goes on. It's a little long in the scripture, but it's worth reading. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. So this experience, this light, all these angels singing, all of a sudden they vanished. And the shepherds said, well, wasn't that fun? No, they didn't. They were so excited. They said, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went and with haste. So these guys were running, okay? This wasn't a little saunter. They had to run, okay, to Bethlehem, into the town. And they went with haste, and they saw the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. What was the saying that was made known to them? The saying was, this is the Messiah. This is your Savior. This is a reason for being joyful. This is the prophecies that you've been hearing about or reading about throughout the whole of the Old Testament. This is it being fulfilled. This is something to be really amazed at. And all who heard it, So it wasn't just these shepherds telling, you know, there with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. There were other people around, and they started to wonder at what the shepherds had told them. They were amazed as well. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, and what did they do? They kept glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, and all that had been told to them. It's unfortunate, isn't it, that in this day and age we hear about Jesus, but you know, it's not enough to just to sort of peek, as I will use an analogy. It's not enough just to peek into the manger and say, oh, how nice. What a lovely scene. It gives us such good feelings. That's not what this is all about. This is joy being brought to the world. This is good news that the Savior was born, and that for the first to announce it, it was announced with joy by shepherds. So, we have been given this gift of joy, and that gift of joy is actually many, many gifts. His word, his love, his care, calm and peace, comfort as we go through trials. These are the things, these are the joys that we are given. And who does this belong to? It belongs to everyone. It's to all people. It belongs to those who hear it. It belongs to those who believe it. It belongs to those who tell it. And it belongs to those of us who can give it. The Christ who was born in the world, if it hasn't already happened to you, should be born in your heart to receive him as your Savior. It's one of the, and you've heard me say this before, but I was really, it was really brought to light to me, or let me put it this way, it was really reinforced to me when we were at the manoir on Thursday. And Walter said, you know, we're here in the season, the holiday season. Not the Hallmark holiday season. Okay. We're here in the season. But had Jesus Christ not been born, whether you're a believer or not, had he not been born, there would be no Christmas, no gifts, no feasting, no celebrating. And we look around us and we see all the merchandising and all the commercialism and all the things that are associated with Christmas, and that all those things, these people who have not yet received Christ are quite happy to enjoy all of that. But had Christ not been born, it would just be another day. There would be no hope and there would be no joy. So interestingly enough, we have received this joy. We have received this gift of joy thanks to the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we have a duty, having received Christ and having to understand the joy that we have received, we have the obligation to tell it to others, to spread the news. And maybe just one person, maybe as a family, you're together with believers and non-believers enjoying the Christmas Day meal. You can remind them that we are enjoying this meal. You are receiving maybe a physical gift because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because had that not happened, we as a family wouldn't be sitting here enjoying our meal and sharing our gifts today. So what's our obligation? Our obligation is nicely summarized in Hebrews chapter 12. Fix our eyes on Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. for the joy set before him. Now that's interesting. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you look at that scripture, it says Christ thought it was joy to give us eternal life by enduring the cross. That was the ultimate of joy and expression of joy. You see, the real savior of the world is not Caesar Augustus, the time they were doing the census, and nor will it be any great world leader today. The savior of the world is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth. He was born in human flesh. He lived in the flesh. He died in the flesh. He was resurrected. And now he lives glorified at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy was not just for then. Joy was for today. I'll give you a couple of points about joy. Joy is never complete unless it's passed on. Joy is ours to receive. It is also ours to give. Joy comes from Jesus Christ. I didn't put up the scripture, and I know I've taken a little extra time today, but I want to read in the book of Habakkuk, of all places, something about joy that hopefully will resonate. Habakkuk is a minor prophet just before Zephaniah, and in chapter 3, he says, and it's wonderful, because he's saying, no matter how difficult things are, there is joy. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop may fail, and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Habakkuk then goes on and says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Lord, the sovereign Lord, is my strength. His Lord is my strength. And we can count on him as our strength because he brings us joy. I just want to summarize one more scripture. Philippians 4:4. It's a... basically a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. So let me just close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming into the world to pay the price for our sins. We do not always appreciate how high a cost you paid and how your birth made good on promises that the Father had made. Thank you for your great love, for your sacrifice and victory against evil. Thank you that while we know hard times may come, your kingdom has and will come. Thank you that while battles may come, the war against evil is effectively over. Help us to never grow tired of the truth, to discover it anew and see how great it is and that we can know it. Show us how to have joy every day, how to rejoice in your love. Rejoice in your provision and of time and time again. Rejoice in the care and the love and strength that you give us. We ask all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll have one more hymn, and then I'll ask Wanda to close in prayer.
That there'll be a little choir practice after church for the people who wanted to sing next Sunday. Also, I think Heather's joy has spilled over into chocolate. And
oh, yes.
Big pile of it in the hall. I don't know if that's for this Sunday or for another time.
Yeah, leave by the way of the hall.
Yes.
Heather has provided a lot of candy and chocolate there.
Yes.
Everybody help yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you for your kindness. So our last one is number 146.
144. Yeah. How great our joy.